The Lord be with you.
Also with
you. Our chapel speaker this morning is Dion Lagerquist. Dion is a professor of religion and is speaking today as part of our Reformation 500 programming. Sometimes the topics of our prayers come from the news. This one comes from conversations with students about it being the middle of the semester. Let us pray. We pray, O God, at the middle of the semester. The excitement of the new has worn off, yet we're weeks away from final papers and exams. Renew our commitment to both classes and community. Help us to experience with fresh enthusiasm that which is before us. Where there is anxiety, grant your peace. Amen.
There are three readings. The first is Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. And a little bit of a sermon of Jesus's that's recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of a good treasure, and the evil person brings evil things out of an evil treasure. And from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Look at those trees. They are so gorgeous. The swaying willows along the riverbank shining in the morning light. The ones that bear an autumn harvest of crisp, juicy apples. The stunning maples whose shimmering leaves evoke joy. The crab apples in full, generous spring bloom. You'll have to just remember those. You know, when I was a college student, asking people what kind of tree they wanted to be was a popular getting to know you icebreaker. It wasn't one I was very fond of at the time. However, today I will admit to you that if I were a tree, I would like to be like these good trees. I would want to bear the righteous fruits of love, kindness, faithfulness, even self-control. Now, I'm not a tree, but I admit that I'm drawn to the trees in these texts because they offer the alluring possibility that Christian life could be as simple as olive trees producing olives, orange trees, oranges, fig trees, figs. I chose these texts about trees and fruits for my meditation on the forward momentum of the Reformation at 500 because they help us get at key aspects of that movement. In his commentary on Galatians, Martin Luther took up this image of the good tree and its fruits. Why? To illustrate the relationship between passive righteousness and active righteousness. The organic metaphor is really quite straightforward, right? The tree does not make itself good. but because it's good, it bears good fruit. So, the Christian does not make herself righteous. God does that, but, well, maybe better, because God has made her righteous, because she has been made righteous by God, therefore, she acts righteously, praising God, bearing fruit, feeding her neighbors. Passive righteousness, accomplished entirely and solely by God's grace, was at the very core of Luther's experience of the Christian gospel. It's also at the very heart of his theology. Divine grace set him free from his struggle to make himself righteous. It's the basis for that paradoxical freedom that he wrote about in his treatise on Christian liberty, or on the freedom of a Christian. Freed from the necessity to make himself righteous before God, he was then obligated to act righteously toward his neighbors. The pear tree must produce pears, the avocado tree, avocados, the cherry tree, cherries. Freed by grace, Luther was compelled to the work of institutional reform. And woodcuts from his time show him and his and other reformers busily cultivating the vineyard, a biblical metaphor for the realm of God. The image of the good tree bearing good fruit is also an illustration of Christian vocation, freely lived. And I'm reminded of a phrase Annie Dillard uses in her essay, Living Like a Weasel. There she writes of the, she uses this phrase, the perfect freedom of a single necessity. Like the weasel living true to its nature, a tree can only be a tree. How easy it seems to be a tree, to grow from an acorn into an oak, and then to produce the nuts that feed the pigs, that become the ham for Easter dinner. And yet, despite its attractiveness and value, when we move the tree metaphor to everyday life, we see it has some limits. We know that experiencing freedom and fruitfulness is not quite that simple, not quite that easy, not quite that automatic. We are not either a good tree or a bad tree. Apparently, there are more sorts of trees than that, more sorts of people than just the upright ones and the evil ones, more sorts of institutions than just the principled ones and the corrupt ones. This reality is why there's need for ongoing reform of institutions, for continued reconsideration of theologies, for daily personal repentance. Lutheran theologians speak of this reality with the phrase, simultaneously saint and sinner, or in Latin, simul justus et peccator. Lutherans acknowledge this when on a Sunday morning they confess, I'm in bondage to sin and I cannot free myself. Christians admit it when they sing, as we just did, shake off dull sloth and pray, disperse my sins as morning dew. Recognizing the persistence of one's own envy or anger, timidity or fear, self-absorption or selfishness, the sinner part is pretty obvious. So too, when we own how often we take credit for what we did not earn or accomplish, and when we hold tightly to what we have rather than sharing it for the common good. Although sometimes criticized for their insistence that all human beings are thus profoundly broken by sin, Lutherans are equally insistent on the saint part of the simul justus et peccator. The ability to hold the two together, to live in the simul, is something I think Luther's spiritual heirs have to offer to their American neighbors today. Quite properly, there seems to be a lot of repentance going on lately. In the face of racial violence, some are confessing their white privilege. In the midst of high-profile sexual harassment cases and Facebook feeds filled with hashtag MeToo, some are repenting of their male complicity. Aware of environmental crisis, Some confess their overconsumption. You could multiply the instances. However, it seems to me that there's something missing. Too often, there's nothing beyond repentance. And so let's think about the Gospel of Luke, which recounts a parable about a tree that Jesus told immediately after he had admonished his followers to repent or to perish. It seems that a fig tree failed to bear fruit for 3 years running. And so the owner of the vineyard it grew in instructed his worker, "Cut it down. Why should we waste the good soil?" But the worker offered to cultivate it for another year, to dig around it and fertilize it in the hope that it would then do what a good fig tree is obligated to do, bear figs. The parable reminds us that trees do respond to their environments, the soil they're planted in, the weather conditions, drought or flood. Wild trees certainly flourish, but we also know that pruning and fertilization are beneficial. Well-cared-for olive trees are productive for decades, even centuries. In contrast, the orange trees on the campus of my alma mater, California Lutheran, were not well cared for once the college replaced the orchards. And I can testify on the basis of my experience that no quantity of sugar lifted from the cafeteria could make the juice of those oranges drinkable. Repentance without grace and absolution and time for amendment of life just chops down the trees. That kind of awareness of sin leads to paralysis, not action. In contrast, the repentant sinner who has received God's grace grows into fruitfulness. At the same time, a sinner and a saint, such a person freely takes up the obligation to work with others for the good of all. One last tree reference. Now, this is one of those remarks, we all know them, that Luther is reputed to have made, but nobody can find, but even if he didn't say it, he should have. So we're told that when he was asked what he would do if he learned that the world would end tomorrow, Luther replied he would plant a tree, and not just any tree, but an apple tree, which we know does not bear fruit for several years, maybe 3 or even 4. It was a hopeful response in tumultuous times. Perhaps, and here I'm speculating without any evidence at all, that Luther's imaginary eschatological apple tree was an allusion to the tree of life in the book of Revelation. Remember that tree, it grows by the river of life. It has 12 kinds of fruit, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. That tree of life also evokes Jesus, crucified on a cross. I don't need to speculate to know that if Luther would come down today out of that stained glass window and raise a finger to direct our eyes toward a tree, the tree he would point to would be the cross. That's the tree he would tell us that offers fruit to nourish us in the midst of our own tumults, personal and collective, spiritual and political. It's the sign of God's patience and mercy in the face of our failure to bear fruit, of God's steadfastness in love, and of God's loving grace that imparts righteousness to sinners for this saintly work of being good trees.
May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen.